Blog Talk Radio.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Move mountains, we're gonna walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,008 times again. And I'll rise up, I'll like the waves. I'll rise up, in spite of the ache. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,008. Silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. That we have each other.
And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise.
in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your time and another day of your time, black man and black woman. Brothers and sisters, thank you for this day. I'm serious. With all of the things that's been going on, I want to take time out to thank you for giving me a little moment of your time, right? Because most of us, we don't say thank you when people are generous to us. But I want to thank you. And brothers and sisters, now, skipping all of the other stuff that we usually go into because the time is short, and we've already got the formalities out the way when we say in the name of Allah, Master Farad Muhammad, and in the name of his last and greatest messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, all other words after that are formalities. When we put the links in, you know the links, and I'm going to discuss a few things today, especially about the site. I'm going to discuss a few things, maybe a few personal things that are going on, and also with the blog show, and I'm going to talk to you about a lot of things that's going on in America and around the world. This is your brother. And so the name of this show is titled, Only in This Sick, Sad, and Crazy World. Now, for us to understand the depths of what that is, for us to understand the true meaning of what is being spoken, sometimes, brother, we have to go to the dictionary. And so when we go to the dictionary, remember, brother, so please bear with me now as I talk to you. Because some of us get impatient, okay? But bear with me and remember that I'm working on computers that are not the normal computers that we use for the show, being that the show was hit with massive viral attack and it just fried the system of the ones we usually use. But, again, the name of the show is titled Only in This Sick, Sad, and Crazy World. We got to get an understanding of what that means before we can go into the depths of the show to understand how it relates to everything that you see today, okay? Now, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, right, the word sick means affected with a disease or illness of or relating to people who are ill, very annoyed or bored by something because you have had too much of it. Now, all three of those definitions fit exactly the show title. Because the first one is affected with a disease or illness. We can see that the governments around the world, especially here in America, are affected with a disease. They are affected with hubris. They are affected with being inebriated on power and white privilege. Even the people of America, as they see the system that they so arrogantly love and propagated to other people as a beacon of light, as they see that crumble and tumble and take a fall, the outrage that others are rising up in America's stead, the outrage that black people won't take being killed and beaten anymore, the outrage that a new governance, a new system is underway, and it is uprooting that which was laid by the prince of this world, Yaqub. So that definition, affected with a disease or illness, is correct in describing the mentality of not only white America and the white world, but also all of those who are breathing this sick atmosphere of white supremacy and privilege. And so the next definition of this word, the word sick, is of or relating to people who are ill. The black man and woman in America are crazy as hell. Their taskmaster made them this way, and the taskmaster is crazy as hell. But I've discussed to you why they are crazy. But I'm telling you that the black man in America is crazy as hell, and this is why you can't get unity. And this is why you see our women demeaning themselves and lowering their standards and thinking that this is a reflection of greatness and beauty, when every time you see them take a picture, they're taking it from the backside. They marvel more in their curves and in their behinds than in their hearts and their minds. They are filled with an illness or a disease. This is something that does not get talked about much. So the third definition of the word, sick, means very annoyed or bored by something because you have had too much of it. Well, this is a sign of dissatisfaction. And in the fall of America, Messenger Muhammad writes an entire chapter about the growing level of dissatisfaction with all of the people, not just black and white, but everybody. There's a growing movement of dissatisfaction and outrage and division and disgust and destruction and desolation. This is all predicted, as a matter of fact. Chapter 23, Messenger Muhammad writes, we are living in the time, when dissatisfaction is 100% throughout the world of man and mankind. So listen, he makes a distinction here. Throughout the world of man and mankind. Well, we know that the original man is not any kind of a man. He is the example for all other kinds. He is the template for all other kinds. So when Muhammad says man and mankind, he's speaking both of the black world and those who have been grafted out of the black world. So we see a 100% dissatisfaction point growing. And that's why you see wars. That's why you see conflicts. That's why you see confusion. This is why you see animosity and hatred on a scale unlike anything that you've seen before. Okay? So Muhammad goes further and he says, therefore, we are living among the dissatisfied persons daily and nightly. Right? And listen to this. No one is satisfied, though they may be righteous. They are not satisfied because they are living among unrighteousness. So the whole world of the wicked and the righteous is upset due to dissatisfaction. So Muhammad says, this right here, Merriam-Webster's give you an understanding of the mentality of the people, the atmosphere of the world, of sick, a very annoyed or bored by something because you have had too much of it. That's sick, right? And Muhammad is giving you an example of what that means. And he goes further and he says, the dissatisfied are gaining every day more and more among the people whom they hope to bring into the same condition that they are in. And today, nothing is made so clear to the chief maker of dissatisfaction. Now, are they satisfied in Europe? Nope. Because if they were, why the hell do they try to dominate everybody else? Are they satisfied in Asia? Nope. If they were satisfied, why are they now turning the tides on the Western world and wanting to push them the hell away from East Asia? Are they satisfied in the MENA area or throughout the Middle East and all of Africa? No, because you can see it in the blowback effect of empire. Are they satisfied in South and Central America and these little islands that go up and down each side of the Americas? No. So you see color revolutions and disagreements. You see protests, right, and walkouts. Is that not right? This is a part of a sickness that has come upon the people. This is a part of the judgment of this world. This is the convincing of the people that this world is not sustainable. The ideas of the world are not sustainable. The people who have built this world, envisioned this world, and have maintained this world on the backs of others is not maintainable. So all of it is going to hell in a handbasket. The definition of sick. Now, give me a little time with your brothers and sisters. I like to, when I'm talking to my people, I really like to explain these things to you so that you can understand and no one can deceive you after getting a deep understanding, okay? Just give you a little time. So we've gone over an understanding of what the word sick is, right? So now let us go and put the word sad into the definition box in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. So this is what it says about sad, okay? Follow along with me. All of this has relevance to the subject at hand. And for God's sake, be patient. The word sad means affected with or expressive of grief and unhappiness. See, this correlates right to the sick. If you are affected by something, especially if it is an illness or something that opposes your happiness, your health, and your position, then it is a sickness or a disease. And it causes one to be sad. And according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word sad means affected with or expressive of grief or unhappiness, causing or associated with grief and unhappiness. Well, this is part of dissatisfaction, isn't it? Because let us look. If the atmosphere is unrighteousness, if the atmosphere is white supremacy, if the atmosphere is white privilege, if the atmosphere is against black uprising, black liberation, black empowerment, black intelligence, of course the original people would be very sad at the state and the condition that they are in. And this causes uprisings, rebellions, and a demand for liberation and freedom. Also, it causes the oppressors and those who have benefited of the subjugation of you to be sad to see that their ex-slaves, whom they deem to be their property, is rising, because it means the fall of their world, the collapse of their wealth and power and might and influence. So we are right to say sick and sad. But what one must understand also is another very, very, very important word. And that word is crazy. Okay? All of these words are in the title of the show. Now, I didn't do this purposely. As I was sitting for the show to come on, I thought about it. I said, let us go into the definition of these words so that the listeners can get an understanding of this. You know, this wasn't something that was planned out. So I just want you to understand that. Okay? As we continue to address this, because I think it's a beautiful subject as we're talking, and we're going to play a few clips that go hand in hand with what the title of the show is, all right? And I know that people, I'm getting your text messages, I'm getting your emails, I'm getting your whatever. I see it. I know they're blocking you and cutting you off. I see it, and I know my computer is freezing left and right, and this is these are brand new computers. So I understand what's going on, and so should you if you've listened to or viewed this show once or twice. You understand? You just got to suck it up and go through it. Okay? So, we've understood what the words sick and sad means. Now what we must get an understanding of is the word crazy. Because remember, sick is you being affected by an illness, which brings upon sadness. And what is the definition of this word crazy? Well, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, all right, and I'm telling you, we're being hit by something right now, brothers and sisters, so bear with me. The pages are going blank or whatever. Here we are. We have a screen up again. We got to go through this, but I'm glad we go through this live on the air so that the people can see that this show and the website is constantly being hacked and under surveillance and being messed with, so that you can see that this is the truth. If it wasn't the truth, the devil wouldn't be concerned about it, would it? So, the word crazy means full of cracks or flaws, mad, insane, impractical, erratic, being out of the ordinary, unusual. Now, this is a disease because we're living in what? This world that has been dominated by an unnatural people with unnatural ideas, and they have done everything contrary to the natural order, the natural way of God, right? They have built their world on everything that is the antithesis of God. Anything, you can see it even today. Anything that God says thou shalt not do, well, it's all right with me. That's what the devil says. Don't be gay. Well, I'm gay. It's just me accepted. Right? Okay. Okay, you gay. But don't try to push it down me. I'm not going to. You be what you want to be, but don't push it down my throat. We all have gay people in our families, and we love them. Right? But we want to talk real with you, brothers and sisters. Thou shalt not do. Shouldn't eat pork. Well, I'm going to eat me some pork. That's what you know. This is what the people in the South say. They forget about the R. But they poke. Put an E at the end. Poke. So, then, well, I ate pork 50 years or 70 years. And I look at me, I'm looking good. That's beside the point. God says don't eat. If you say you are a follower of God in God's word, he said don't eat it. Well, y'all Muslims, that ain't what God said, no Quran. We don't believe the Quran. Well, it's in the Bible and throughout the Bible. Well, Jesus says everything is good. Yeah, it is good. But it's good for the purpose for which it was made for. If we were to take your logic on this and to justify our madness, right? Because that's what people do today. They take anything to justify their madness, their craziness, and push it upon the people. If we're to take your logic on this, which is illogical in the beginning, and say that Jesus said it, and it's good, he made everything good. Well, if that's the case, then go out there and eat that tire on the car. Well, that's for the car. Well, it was good, he made it good. But no, he wasn't talking about it. He was talking about food. Well, go eat you a bunch of poison ivy. Huh? Those are plants. That's crazy. Common sense tells you not to do that. Well, common sense tells you a lot of things that you reject because you try to justify your madness in this crazy world, this sick, this sad world that's been perpetrated on the mind of the masses of the Aboriginal people for far too long. So, we get out of subject today, and we go to the word world, which is something that you should understand. It's a simple word. It says the world, the earth, and all the people and things on it. A part of the world and the people and things that exist there. Now, let's go back to the title of the show. Only in this sick, sad, and crazy world. So according to the definitions that we have gone through from the word sick, from the word sad, from the word crazy and from the word world, we understand that the Aboriginal people are sad because they are sick from an illness that has been imposed upon them by the world of Yahoo. We understand that this world of the white man is sick and it is sad and it is crazy as hell because God has smitten them with derision because of the hell that they have put on the backs of other people. You don't think this world is crazy? You don't think there's great division? You don't think that this stuff is entrenched in the very fiber of society? You say, well, if I get a job, if I'm a congressman or a city council, I can change it from the inside. How the hell can you change that from the inside when the very core of it, from its very foundation, from the very makeup fiber of it, is against you? From the very inception of it, the idea of it, is to oppress you and to keep you down and to keep you thinking that you're less than them. Huh? This is enshrined into the system because it came from the very idea of those who have perpetrated the system on the world. You know, many of you who read the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, you have a misconception about Yaqub. Yaqub had a job to do, right? And I asked the question, was Yaqub righteous or was he evil? And if he became evil and he was not always evil, what caused his fall out of the circle of the God? not cause his fault. It was him entertaining the idea, which was contrary to the Aboriginal way of thought. You understand? So this idea has been ingrained in the very people which Yaku brought out of us. This is something that you've got to understand. So this world affects you to the very core of your being. Yet you are blind to this reality. But we're going to shake you, and we're going to bake you. And today, you're going to take off those pajamas because we're about to wake you spiritually. All right? Open up your eyes and see this truth. Brothers and sisters, it is in the very foundation of their educational, their justice, their cultural, and their political system to oppose your liberation, to oppose your empowerment. I don't care how much you get into the halls of government and the halls of city council, the halls of state government, the halls of the federal government, you have to give so much of yourself to become one of them. And once you give so much of yourself, you are no longer yourself that you started with. You have become a deluded person because you have to shake and bake to get things done. You have to give and take. And sometimes you give the wrong things and take the wrong thing. Look at all these black politicians who have become corrupt. And when the white man uses you up, he exposes your corruption. And he magnifies your corruption 100 times over his own, even though he's the most corrupt person on earth. His politics is corrupt. His justice system is corrupt. Is that not right? His culture is corrupt. Didn't he steal a whole people and then made them subjected to his will and steal their history and made them to believe that they were nothing in history? Only in this sick, sad, and crazy world. Now, if you do not believe that it is enshrined in the very fabric of American society, I want to play something to you, okay? This is a gift from me to you. I want you to listen to what is going on in the very schools that you pay your tax money to keep going and to fund. I want you to listen. This is only a minute and a half. I want you to listen to this, okay? Because this is not just one particular place, even though they're speaking at one particular place. This is pervasive in American society and European culture to think that you are inferior to them. This is madness here. Why don't you pay close attention to this? Your blog talk will not block. Okay? Here we go. I'm having problems right now. Again, I say.
You jumped straight into action. Me and Mama Bear, that's just what we did. Went straight into action.
When Monique Richardson's son returned home from school recently, he told her about comments made by his social studies teacher. Comments she and her son found disturbing.
That whites are more superior than blacks, and because of the color of our skin, we'll never make the amount of money that other races make.
Despite many parents telling 41 Action News the name of the teacher, tonight we are withholding the name, pending confirmation from the school district. Days after the sixth grade students heard the comments in class, they continue to bother Richardson.
To teach our children that another race is more superior is basically you're telling our children that they should just give up.
Several parents approached the school to complain. This father we spoke to in the parking lot said his two children say they felt like they were targeted in his class because of their skin color.
You don't need to say something or shut up, those kind of things. He make the kids feel like they was not treated fairly.
Upon hearing of the teacher's suspension, Chitama Chitama says his children told their dad they knew something like this would happen.
My son was like, Dad, I told you. I keep telling you about this guy.
For now, that teacher is suspended with pay, but parents like Monique Richardson hope the district ultimately fires the teacher for the comments.
They shouldn't feel uncomfortable and feel like they have to walk on eggshells because of what a teacher feels about them or thinks about them.
Again, Lawrence Public Schools is not releasing the name of that teacher. Right now, it's unknown when or if that teacher will return here to South Middle School. Live in Lawrence, Tom Dempsey, 41 Action News.
This is a state of mind. This is the essence of white supremacy. Let's go to Yaqub and the Origins of White Supremacy. This book is written by Dorothy Blake Fardon, Ph.D., and she is an anthropologist. That means that she studies human history he talks down to you because that's what his handlers want him to do. You understand? And only when he needs your backing does he smile and spin a basketball on his finger and talk to the black community. Right? He had to give so much of himself to receive the position that he has gotten into. He is white in mind. This is a state of mind. This is why she opened up and says, not every Caucasian male needs to be a white man. You understand? She's telling you that their mentality has permeated from themselves up into you, and they have transposed their thoughts, their line of thinking, and their way of life and culture on you. And this has destroyed your natural way of thinking. This has destroyed your natural love and natural unity towards self. And this only happens in this sick, sad, and crazy world. So, if we flip over to the next page of this book, I'm reading the autograph book she gave me to you. So, I'm not going to read the other one because I couldn't find the one that I have to just to read. My daughter's probably got it, but I want to show you what I was talking about on the last show about the unchecked appetite for white people and how their whole desire is to dominate. Their whole desire is to impose what they think and say on others. Now think about this. I want you, have you ever just sat back and thought that they always try to uplift their constitution to you, right? They're always talking about their constitution, though they are the greatest violators of it, right? And they always talk about these inalienable rights that God gave the man, yet they violate yours on an hourly and a minute-by-minute and second-by-second basis because they don't see you as an equal. They don't see you as a human being. It is enshrined in their very constitution that you're only three-fifths of a man. Hell, the dog has a higher status in American and European society than you do. You know that? Do you ever notice when you get out your cars, you go to Walmart or you go somewhere, and white people are parked next to you or parked close to you? When you get out of your car and they get out of their car, they'll lock their doors as though you're looking to do them harm. And if you need them, like this sister was needing help, this was a few months ago, or last year, and she went up on a white person's porch and knocked, and when they blew her head off, shot through the door, didn't even open the door. She was looking for help, and they shot her head off. Now, let's fast forward this for a minute. They will go to the extreme of dispatching emergency teams, fire departments, and rescue units to go after a dog if it's drowning or stuck in the sewage. Do you see this? The madness of this. But this is what goes on when you are affected by a disease. And it is making you sad and you are afflicted by this crazy atmosphere of the world, Yaku. So, and this is not what I wanted to even talk to you brothers about and sisters about, but this is what Allah has given to me to talk to you about, and that's what we're going to talk about, and we're going to play some clips if time permits. And I just want to go into something with you about the reason why you see America trying to push her TTP or TPP or whatever it's called, TTP or Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, in Asia. Kerry let the goodies out the bag yesterday when he said, he was talking to the Congress, pass this and enact this, lest we be pushed out of Asia and lose our interest in Asia. What interest do you have in Asia? And why are you so desperate to be there? And why you must dominate over in a neighborhood that you don't live in? That's just like me living in Pensacola, Florida, and going out to L.A. in Brother Rashid's neighborhood or Brother Gerald's neighborhood and saying, you can't do this. I don't want you to do that. I'm going to put laws this business. Now, it doesn't affect me we don't understand the depths of how mad and crazy these people are. But think about it. They'll go and rob people, they'll demonize you, they'll steal from you, and then they'll lock you up if you steal a sandwich. They talk about justice being served, yet none of the presidents have ever been held for war crimes. None of their administrations have ever been held for war crimes, and they have been the greatest violators of human rights and international law. Where's the justice in that? Huh? And they have stolen and robbed and pillaged, destroyed and killed and maimed for geopolitical advantage. Do you see what I'm talking about? The mentality of these people, they will kill hundreds of thousands just to get their way. They won't give up in Syria because they're trying to advance the pipeline so that they can prevent Russia from reemerging as a power. Now, over 200,000 people have been killed in this war. People have been uprooted from other places. Think about, I think in Libya, there's 2.5 million people in that have fled Libya. Libya was a country of only 5 to 6 million people. Since America and Europe bombed Libya back to the Stone Age. And they did this for geopolitical advantage. Every nation that they're bombing happens to be a black or a Muslim nation and a nation that has trade or military ties with Russia and have great and vast resources and are turning away the central bank and the dollar system. This is no coincidence. This is no coincidence. And when they do, they want chaos in these nations so that they can easily go in with their parties and usurp the resources, usurp the mineral riches, take all the brain power and offer the people who are scared to live in their own countries, come over here like they did with Nazi Germany. They did this with Nazi Germany. This is how America got the nuclear bomb, because Germany had already was close to having it. America, after intervening in the war at the last moment when it was almost won, took most of the Nazi scientists out of Germany, brought them back here, so that she can get a tactical advantage over her rivals and that she can have the bomb and dominate and dictate to everybody else. Now, she has over 15,000 nuclear bombs, and she's talking about Iran getting one. She's talking about North Korea with 36. She's talking about Pakistan with 150. Isn't that madness? She has an arsenal, the second largest chemical and biological arsenal outside of Russia in the world. And Russia's a white, well, partly white nation. And yet she's talking about going into Syria because Assad used chemical weapons. The madness here. She gives Saddam chemical weapons, gives him the green light to use them, and then 10 years later, she uses that same argument to depose him because he wanted to get off the dollar system. The madness of this, the sickness of their thinking, it is a disease which is destroying the very fiber of the aboriginal thinking in his mind. Therefore, this world and these people must be removed. Okay? So, let's go back to this book here, Yaqub and the Origins of White Supremacy. And brothers and sisters, I'm trying to make you critical thinkers. I'm trying to do for you what the brother, the good and great brother, Saladin, has done for me. The brother is still holding on, all praises due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He may be on a deathbed, but the brother's still hanging on. He's a warrior. He's a warrior. All praises due to Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and for building brothers, making brothers, and fashioning brothers that won't relent even on death's doorway. That's what you call a soldier. So, we go here in Dorothy Fardon's book in a chapter titled Unchecked Appetite and the Empire of Materialism. In this chapter, this is what she says about the white character, the white mind, the white actions. She says, the main characteristics that stand out about the white man is his insatiable appetite for material accumulation and the haste with which he seeks it. Stop right there. That has affected black America to this day. His appetite. He doesn't care about, think about this, you can suffer all $500 million. I'm worth $1 billion. But what if that $1 billion has no worth? Then that means you have become worthless, right? When you put your value, your human value, in stocks of paper, fiat paper, that has no financial backing, only goes on the faith or the fear of the people, you're showing that you are a white person, like she said. In mind, you might not be a white person genetically, but mentally and spiritually and culturally, you are a child of Yaqub every day and night of your life, stacking up wealth while millions are starving. You can't spend it all. Why won't you put it to use to help your people elevate themselves? You don't understand this, brothers and sisters. This was taught to me by my mom. You get money. You become wealthy. Make sure you bring others up with you. In case you fall, they will be there to catch you. And it is easier when many have it and they are willing to help you climb back up than if you fall and no one has anymore. But we become lovers of the world. And our appetite for the finer things of life become an insatiable appetite for wealth and the accumulation of wealth, which brings us in opposition to spiritual growth. Because God tells us that you can't be niggly. You see people with all, you say, whoa, this person gave $50 million. But what was that really? They gave it, and then they gave out all of this publicity behind it. And they got some benefits behind it, tax-wise. So really, most of the times, it didn't come from the heart. It came with a lucrative backdoor deal from whether it's the government or the taxes or whether it's the publicity. So you don't look into these things, but you should look into these things. You should analyze these things, but we'll go a little further. But I want you to understand where we are. I want you to understand how things are. And if you don't realize, you're thinking, most of you don't realize it. Some of you, you accept truth, you get your holy names, you do all this, but your thinking and your conversation is opposed to a new world. Your thinking and your actions, because you are enamored with, it's nothing wrong with having good things, but you are fixated on the Mercedes Benz. You think that is a status symbol, but how can you be a high status in a nation or in a civilization that is undergoing change that will devastate it? And if you are a status symbol in that civilization that is undergoing a dramatic change, which means it will fall, then guess what happens to you and your status and the symbol which you uphold? Huh? Talk back to me, 347-989-0855. This is your little brother talking to you. And I'm talking to you from the heart, and I'm talking to you with sense, and I'm talking to you with truth. So, she says, I got to read that again. The main characteristic, not many, she says the main characteristic. Now, this is a white woman talking. That stands out about the white man is his insatiable appetite for material accumulation and the haste with which he seeks it, excuse me. Now, insatiable. Let us look at the word insatiable. Always wanting more. Not able to be satisfied. Is that not the mindset of all of us? Huh? We get in this society and isn't that the same thing? We're never content. And we always say, God, if you bless me with this over here, I promise you be in a condition that's so bad or a condition that you think bad. And then you say, God, if you help me to get over here, I promise I'll be thankful. Then when you get there, that ain't enough. Then you're talking about, God, I need to be over here. Because your eyes are always constantly watching somebody else instead of looking within and enjoying the contentment that God put in your heart and your head by growing spiritually into that God that he intends for you to be. Isn't that something? But you can only do this in this sick, sad, and crazy world. So, she goes further, she says, Sheikh Antidiak refers to this trait in pre-colonial Africa book, and discussing the original concept of caste, the caste system or racist system that is set up throughout the world. Based on division of labor, he contrasts the attitude of the European or Aryan. Giving a divine character to property is an Aryan custom. In Rome, Greece, and India, it led to the isolation from society or of an entire category of individuals who had no family, had neither hearth nor home, and no right of ownership. It was through its concern with the ownership of material goods that the Aryan spirit or genius impressed its mold upon the caste system. Is that not right today? Huh? Is that not what's going on today? They are always seeking to dominate America. Look, they expanded England, France, Belgium, Spain, and all of them. They weren't, when we put them in Europe, they were not content to be there in their own land. They had to expand. And then they get over here talking about they discovered a land that was already found with people on it. How the hell is that possible? Huh? That's just like if you had a $300 in your pocket and I put my hand and I said, I discovered $300. I got me $300. I'm going to go buy me some shoes. You will fight me or shoot me or do something to me. That's called robbery. Theft. Right? Is that not right? Come on, talk back to me. Y'all know you look good talking to you, right? But listen, I talk with you common sense because sense is not common anymore today. Not even among those who claim to be righteous. For they forsake truth for the sake of holding on to ideas that are faded and that are no longer workable. But listen, she goes further and she says, the white man works the opposite of nature. Is that not what Elijah Muhammad says? And why does, I want to stop right there for a minute. Why does he work the opposite of nature? Because the aboriginal people, they say aboriginal, original is natural. It's the natural. And if you are made or brought out of original, you are no longer natural. You are a kind of natural person. Or kind of like a natural person. Therefore, they name you as man and all others who have come from this original man as kind of like the man, mankind, because they're not natural. And so the world is in upheaval today like no other time with volcanic activity all around the Ring of Fire and all across the world. For those of you who know geopolitics, you know what I'm talking about when I say the Ring of Fire. For those of you who do not know, go Google it. The Ring of Fire. And I'm not talking about a movie. All of these hot zones around the world. All of these wars. All of this disagreement. It is because this white man and his system, by nature, you don't get this. You don't understand. It's against it. Anything that God says, do not do this, devil goes right back and do it. Anything God puts to you and gives to you the natural of it, he'll go and try to improve upon it. Just didn't the book tell you that Lucifer would do that? He wanted to be like the Most High, right? And that he would try to improve upon God's righteousness, God's kingdom, right? And so, this is what Satan does. God gives you the perfect refreshment that vitalizes and energizes your entire system. Water, pure water. He goes and polluted and diluted. Then he goes and puts all of his chemicals in it and tells you, this is vitamin water. This is better than water. It only has 3 calories, but water doesn't have 1. Well, it has man, this world would be condemned completely because he's gone mad. He's gone crazy. Three fathers. No mother. Three fathers. He goes into the lab. But remember when Elijah Muhammad told you that's how we made the white man, you laughed at him? Now, this wasn't done back then. This white man didn't have the science to do it 80 years ago. Elijah Muhammad was telling you that the black scientists had this knowledge way long ago. After Elijah Muhammad told you this, the white man went into his laboratory. And from the time Elijah Muhammad spoke on these things up to today, calculate on this white man's progress in science. Calculate. And see whether or not Elijah Muhammad is the last and the greatest messenger of God. It's clear. But you're rejected because you love this world. You love these people. You say, Assalamu Alaikum. You say, Shalom. You say, Black Power. In reality, you are all students of the stewardship of evil. You still play the games that this white man puts on you. Let's go a little further. He says, the white man works the opposite of nature. Rather than holding sacred that which is naturally endowed, he assigns power and reverence to his property, which becomes commercially and financially significant, whether I humanly and spiritually uplift. Now, stop right there for a minute. Doesn't he do that? He goes, when you're living on a property, you can look in your neighborhood 15, 20 years and the property is very low. Then there was goes on talking about refresh America or regrow America. They move the black people out, buy up the land on cheap. Then the land that they bought from you for $30,000 or $20,000, today you wouldn't know it if you went back there, and you couldn't afford it if you went back there. It's $500,000. Gates up and all of this stuff. This is what the white man does. And he does this, and he plays games on you. And you fall for it on a daily and hourly basis. And she goes further, and she says this. It is noteworthy in recent newspaper reports of the United States sending troops to the Virgin Islands and the Guard to Carolina in the aftermath of Hurricane Hugo. The House spokesman or the president himself consistently referred to the reason for doing so as protection of property and lives. Hold on one second. I'm not going to read this last part of what she said yet because I'm getting ready to tell you something. Isn't that what she said about her humanitarian mission? When she landed in Iraq, what was the first thing she did? Did she go to try to save the so-called people that were so-called being abused? No. The first place she went was to secure the oil field. After they bombed Libya, what was the first place? What first thing they did? They captured the water supply place, which Canada helped bomb and helped build at the same time, and captured all of the oil fields, right, and all of the strategic ports in Syria. What did America do? She knew that Syrian air defenses would keep her out of there. So what she did, she kept wave after wave after wave of terrorists going into Syria and overwhelming the 300,000 or 400,000 troops in Syria knew that they were stretched in, and so they would lose some of their military bases in the northern part, which were where some of the most strongest air defense bases were. So America sent wave after wave just letting the people be slaughtered just for the sake of geopolitical advantage until they finally took some of the important air bases. And once they destroyed some of the air bases, America then became bold in her, we'll go into Syria whenever we like to. But only after that, those northern air defense bases were knocked down, right? And then what did they do after that? After they strategically took that strategic land, they took some of the oil fields and the water dams and the power stations, right? What about the people? I thought America was there to stop Daesh from killing the people. Huh? Ha, ha, ha. Listen closely. She says, it is noteworthy in recent newspaper reports of the United States sending troops to the Virgin Islands and the Guard to Carolina in the aftermath of Hurricane Hugo the House spokesman or the president himself consistently referred to the reason for doing so as protection of property and lives, always putting property first. Isn't that something? Huh? And you want to be a part of this? Now, let me say this to you. I know we're down to 3 minutes, but you're going to give me a little bit more time. You're going to give me some more time. I want to say this to you, for those of you who are getting in politics and for those of you who think, you know, you're getting patted on your back and you think you're doing a service to your people. And for those of you who are integrated into this system. Now, integration brings about assimilation. And if you assimilate into a society that God is wrought with, if you assimilate in a system that God has promised through the mouth of his prophets, his apostles, his messengers, and of course the last and the greatest of the messengers, then you will be dooming you, your people, and your family to the same chastisement and judgment that God is going to pour upon that system and that people who have owned and maintained that system. This is common sense. This is nothing out of the normal, out of the ordinary to think of. If God said that America was Babylon, look at Babylon's history. If God said that America was ancient Egypt, look at ancient Egypt's history. And then go and see why God told Moses, don't let your people integrate with them. Keep them separate in their things. Go read the Bible. And God told us, if you do, you know they're going to assimilate with Pharaoh and they're going to start worshiping his God. What is the black man doing? He worships money. The white black woman worships. You got to have a J-O-B to be with me. You got to have some money. What is it all about? Oh, I got to be in the club. I got to do this. I can buy this. I own this. I'm worth such and such. They start worshiping the gods of the white man, right? And this brings them into judgment from the true God who comes to remove the white man and his God. But you don't see it because you have been made crazy because of the world that you're in. It has made you sad to be who you are. So you bury who you are for the sake of a couple of dollars and getting along with people because you have been infected with this disease which is making you mentally and spiritually incoherent and sick. You understand? So she goes further and she says this. There has been no creature. Now listen to this part closely, okay? This is a white woman talking with an anthropologist who studies the history of human beings and human behavior all across the world. This is what she says. White women now. There has been no creature on the face of the earth who has demonstrated anti-natural behavior more than the white man. This anti-nature posture is what allows him to sue with unconscionable haste his hunger for power and possession. All through his history, this man has done everything to upset and ruin the balance in nature, that harmony and natural law, and the very order within human nature itself. He manages to do this through deception. What did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say? How does the white man maintain his world and civilization? Through what? Tricknology. What is tricknology? Deception and lies, right? Is this not what this woman just said? Huh? Is she not bearing witness to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching? You know she is. Come on now, brothers and sisters. Don't make me force feed this truth down your throat. This is the truth. But listen, she goes further and she says, he manages to do this through deception. And by strong appetite himself, he has an incredible ability to deceive and generate or create an appetite within his associates, so-called friends or enemies, which will eventually weaken and immobilize them, possibly destroying them and the balance in which they might have once lived, whether friends or enemies. Isn't that what she's doing in Syria? Isn't that what she's doing in Africa? Isn't that what she's trying to do with Russia, with Ukraine? Huh? What about these color revolutions in Argentina and Venezuela? In Brazil, America is always talking about democracy, but her mouth gets quiet when the legitimate governments of these people are overthrown because they are putting in their stead America's puppets. she is bearing witness to it. But you don't like it. But it's the truth. It is the truth, black man and black woman. It is the truth of God, and you know it. It is the truth that one must understand. So when this woman tells you these things, she is telling you from a scientific perspective. She goes further, she says. Elijah Muhammad says in Message to the Black Man that the white man, the devil, was called Caucasian. And according to some Arab scholars, this means one whose evil effect is not confined to oneself but affects others. In his narration of Yaqub and his devils, they eventually were chased out of the ancient Holy Land to the island of Pilon. And he tells how Mr. Yaqub taught his followers to deceive the righteous people, a pattern that is still used effectively in the U.S. today and elsewhere, the FBI being one of the main agents of such craft. Isn't that a, now, this is what she said, the anthropologist. Huh? You going to deny that truth? For the sake of being part of some kind of so-called brotherhood, I see brothers and sisters traveling all across the country talking about brotherhood, and then they go back to where they started from, no brotherhood at all, no unity whatsoever. They don't understand scripture. They don't understand prophecy. They don't understand time. And the time has come now that God convinced the people through the chastisement and the unleashing of desolations that are to be determined to be poured and make America the most desolate land on earth, black man and black woman. You are crying and trying to be a part of this society, not understanding that God is wrought with America. And if you join this society, you too will be judged wanting. Brothers and sisters, let me say this before we close. As I said on one of the previous shows, when you hear me talking, some of you say, well, that brother, some of them thought that I was an older brother from the 50s or the 60s. And I had, brothers and sisters, I was nowhere near that. This comes from the collection of truth that I've gotten from brothers who stayed firm in the messenger. But one stood out above all of them. That was Brother Saladin. Brother is Saladin because he's still breathing at this moment. Brother Saladin. The messenger gave him his name, Brother Saladin Mahdi Muhammad. That's a beautiful name. He gave him the name Mahdi. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. If you go into the Message to the Black Man, and you look in the part in the Message to the Black Man where the devil attacked 27, and one brother became a quad. You read that Message to the Black Man. One of the main brothers who took care of that brother who was a quadriplegic is Brother Saladin. That brother would pick that brother up out of his wheelchair and tow him upstairs every day, bathe him, bring him back down, feed the brother, all of that. That's brotherhood. That's a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, the brother, as the sister called me, his oldest daughter, she called me, and she says, well, she came over. I was over at my mother's house having coffee, and my wife called me, and my wife said, you need to take these numbers down real quick. And I said, I'll be home in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'll just take them when I come home. She said, no, you need to take these numbers down now. So I said, go ahead. So she gave me two numbers, and when she said the first name, I immediately knew who they were when she said the first name. And she said, they just left here, Brother Saladin's daughter. And she said that the brother is making his transition to the ancestors. And immediately, I was speechless. It caught me off guard, you know, because the brother put so much effort into me. So, when I was stunned, and I told my mom I leave, and I came home, and I sat down for a little bit before I called the sisters and cried to myself. But because I know this is the journey that we all have to take. And I'm just sharing a few things with you before we go off the air. And I might get a little emotional, but you look past that because that shows you the love and the reverence that I have for not only Brother Saladin, but for the messenger and the God that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad represented to us and represents to us, and the truth that he has given don't believe it. Now, so when I got home, I couldn't make heads or tails, and so I said, you know what, I'm going out to the hospital where they're taking it. But before I did it, a moment of rationality came over me, and I said, let me call the sister. I called the sister. She said, well, they're taking him to the back. They haven't given him a room yet. And she said, he's really, you know, hurting, but not hurting. She said, he's really in that last stage or whatever. And so we had a conversation about certain things, and she said to me, as we were talking, because he is very coherent and he's still sharp. Brother Saladin is the sharpest brother I ever knew in my life. Y'all give me about 10 minutes to talk to you for a minute. One time, let me tell you how sharp this brother is. One time, I was on my way. I had to be at a place I was working a temporary job as a supervisor. And I was going to pick up my next shift wherever I was going to be at. And the person that I was supposed to meet was at Wayne Dalton's door company. And he was out in the guards tower. So I met the guy there, and I had to sit there and wait. And as I'm waiting, it's 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I see people pulling up about 300 yards away in the parking lot, dark parking lot. I mean, pitch black out there. And after the guy gave me my assignment, I walked out, and I'm walking, it's pitch black, about 200 yards away. Now my back is to him. I hear something say, Salaam Alaikum. I hadn't seen the brother in like 4 months or something like that at the time. Salaam Alaikum. And I said, I look back, and so I'm walking, I stop. I look back, and he said, Brother Rashid. I say, Brother Saladin. Yes, sir, he was on his way to work at that time. I said, Brother, how do you see me from that far? He said, Brother, the messenger told us to learn our brothers in the dark and to learn them from the back of their head to the front. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to know our brothers in the light or in the dark. And so, the brother was so sharp. And he could recount things. I don't care what his memory was so sharp that he could tell you the brothers or the sisters, where they lived at, their family members, the buildings that were on the block down the street or whatever. The brother was so sharp. And so the brother got me like that, training me through war, giving me the history of war, geopolitics, teaching me the messenger's teachings, telling me to dig into it. He would give me the same, I'll say that's right. He said, Brother, read that chapter right there. And I would read it. He said, what did the messenger say? And I would say, well, he said, no, read it again. And he would do that over and over again. And I said, half time would be 4 seconds. And so he said, what did the messenger say? And I said, he said, Brother, read that again and read it to him. And when I said, oh, my God, and my eyes started opening up. Words. The words. You have to understand the words, because not one word of the messenger is idle chatter. So you have to go into it. He was showing me that. And the brother would take time out with me at more than his son, and he pulled me to the side one day. I said, Brother, why you do this? He said, Brother, because I see you and me. He said, Brother Nathan got me when I was your age, and I'm giving it back to you because I see that you truly love the message. He said, if you didn't, I wouldn't waste my time. I don't even tell some of my family members this stuff. So day and night, me and the brother was together, and this goes back to what I was just getting ready to tell you about his daughter. So his daughter said that they were talking on the way to the hospital, and when they got Brother Saladin out of the blue, he said, get in contact with Brother Rashid. I want to see him before I transition. And I want him to speak over me. Nobody else. The brother has honored me in life, and now the brother is honoring me in his death. He has sons, but he chose me. And his daughter said, you know, our dad looked at you like you were his son. And he loved you, and he respect you more than most. And he said it would be an honor if you spoke over him. The brother, I can't repay this. Father's given me so much to give to y'all, and I just can't repeat it. That's why I teach with so much passion, because I want y'all to understand that we don't have much time. The brother took the time out with me, and all I can do is pay it forward to you. And I wish you, brothers and sisters, would just examine what I'm saying. Don't take it on face value. Just examine. And I guarantee you that if you put this stuff on a scale of facts, you will realize that it is the truth, just like I did. And Brother Saladin, I promise you, as you promised me, that you would be a man of your word, and you stuck to your oath, that oath that we have among Muslims. Have you not heard that your word shall be bond, regardless to whom or what? Yes, my word is bond, and bond is life. And I shall give my life before my word shall fail. Your word has never failed me, brother. Everything that you always told me was the truth. And I give it freely to everybody else. And I promise you, this day I affirm it in an oath before the entire world that I will not let that national fall. As you go forward, all I can see in my memory is the last time we talked at my other property that we own. As we were walking down the handicap ramp, and you were walking on my right side, you stopped over just to check on me, and you put your hand like almost hugged me, and you said, "Brother, there's a lot that's going to be going on. Things are going to get bad. You stay strong, and regardless of whom or what, you stay with the message. Keep your eyes on the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is the only thing that's going to get you and your family through." And then these words stand out to me. At the time, I thought you were just talking about if you fall, hypocrite, or something like that. I never thought about this until now. You said, "And if I fall, you keep going, brother. And you keep teaching the messenger's teachings, because God got a good work for you to do. You saw things before I did. So I promise you, I will not let our national fall. I will teach this until the casket drops and the grave is covered. With an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the liberation, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind first here in America, and then the billions around the world, know that your little brother loves you. But I'm standing on the shoulder of giants whom I cannot even tie their shoes. And know that Allah, in the person of Master Faraz Muhammad, his messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and those giants that helped build Rashid Muhammad and the Star and Crescent Report, always love you best. Brothers and sisters, stay strong and say a prayer for my good brother, my father figure, my hero, and the champion of truth in my life. The brother has been a strong advocate of Messenger Elijah Muhammad. And the thing about it, brothers and sisters, is that even as he's going out, the brother said, "What, I'm supposed to punk out, brother?" He said, "Brother, it don't work like that. Your prayers, your sacrifice, your life and death is for Allah. Now that I'm on this pathway to transit, you think I'm a punk out? Brother, it don't go like that. It's Elijah Muhammad yesterday, it's Elijah Muhammad today, and it's Elijah Muhammad when my eyes shut. I bear you witness, brother. As-salamu alaykum, people. Y'all be strong, okay? I'm out."
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I made.